Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, the miracle worker. Amen. I always feel short when I'm up here. Am I short? Don't answer that. I want to share from God's Word in the Gospel of Luke, beginning in the first chapter. And if you have your swords with you, you can follow along in your Bible. In the meantime, I want to say that I hope you come. Thank you, brother. I hope you come to worship every Sunday expecting a miracle. I want to tell you that I'm here today believing that God is going to do miracles for people in this place. Now, you may not know it. You may not see it. You may not realize it for a long time. But God is in the miracle business, and I believe he's going to do some today. Not because of me, but because of him. Amen. Luke 1, beginning with verse 34. I'm just going to read through verse 38. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that the Holy Spirit, who is to be, Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now indeed," he continued, "Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age." Miracle. "And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." I had a professor in college, and when he would have a test question that he would, you know, speak on as he was lecturing, he would stomp his foot, and we would know it. Write that one down. Remember that one. Folks, this is a foot stomper. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And then my next favorite scripture. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, thy maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." This, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I just pray today that you would be present in a mighty way. And I would pray that it would be with this servant, with me, according to your word this morning, Lord. We have invited you in, and I invite you to work mighty works in those that are here today according to their needs, not according to my words, but according to their needs. Lord, speak to them, minister in them in a powerful way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Miracles. What's a miracle? I'm glad to have all the students here. I'm sure they've talked about it one time or another when they said, "I passed the test. It's a miracle." Or maybe when that woman drove her car over a 200-foot cliff, lived down there 7 days and was found. That could be a miracle. But we don't want to confuse miracles with providence this morning, so we want to find out what it is. Let me be a little academic with you here, first of all. That's not normal for me, as my wife can tell you. There's two words translated as miracle from the Greek New Testament. One is dunamis, meaning a work of power. Does that qualify under God? A work of power. The other one, asemion, I don't know if I pronounce it right, meaning a sign. So miracles are events beyond the work or the capability of men and beyond the regular workings of the universe. Or another way to say that is outside the laws of nature. Okay? The beginning of the universe is a perfect and actually an extreme example of this. How could the universe have been made by nothing out of nothing? Anybody got an answer for that one? Friends, it is not that the cosmos was simply an unlikely event. It was an impossible event. And that is a miracle. I brought a songbook with me this morning. When I used to do nursing homes on a weekly basis, one of the nursing homes used this book, and so I bought it. It's called New Songs of Inspiration, Volume 12. If you want to have a great hymnal, this is one, so you don't have to steal one of ours out of the sanctuary. Just order it online. The song is I Believe in Miracles, and talking about creation, I want to read to you. My wife kind of panicked when I brought out the hymnal. We have an unspoken agreement. She sings, I preach. Wow. Creation shows the power of God. There's glory all around. And those who see must stand in awe, for miracles abound. Other definitions that we might use for miracle so that we understand what we're talking about here. When events occur that can only be accomplished by a purposeful yet irregular act of a supernatural power. I just want to emphasize that miracles don't happen all the time. We read the Bible and we say, boy, that's all that was going on was miracles. But when you consider the time periods involved there, no. It's an irregular, purposeful act of God. Or we could say when God interacts openly and obviously with people for various reasons. Another one would be an event not explained by the laws of nature. So if we believe in God and that God created the universe and is involved in the world, why can't God also intervene in the world and perform miracles? He does. He is the miracle worker. The Latin word is miraculum. Literally means an event that causes wonder. A more broad definition than what we've talked about earlier, and that kind of fits in for us sometimes. Things happen and we wonder. Wonder about that. Is that a miracle? It defines things that can happen to us sometimes. We're not sure. If I'm not sure, I call it a miracle. So, then I ask, why are miracles important to us? Besides the obvious of helping, protecting, guiding, and directing us in our lives and those around us. Well, to believe in God and His holy word, the Bible requires belief in at least some miracles. There is no believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior without believing in some miracles. And of course, Christianity is based upon miracles, in particular the virgin birth, and that's another sermon, the cross, and the resurrection. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to turn quickly. Just two verses, 13 and 14. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and our faith is also in vain. Amen. Paul's words. Christianity is based on very specific miracles. There's a lot of them in the Bible, and I'm not saying you have to believe all of them, But you got to get a hold of those two. Listen to the second verse of this hymn. I cannot doubt the work of God. It's plain for all to see. The miracles that he has wrought should lead to Calvary. There's many miracles in the Bible, and we can't talk about all of them. We could go on all day here talking about them, and you all know what they are. And so I'm going to assume from here on that you believe in miracles and that God is the miracle worker, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was kind of curious about what people thought about miracles and what their favorite ones were. So Wednesday night here, I asked 23 people to list their favorite miracle in the Old Testament and their favorite one in the New One. And what happened was, in the Old Testament, from those 23 people, there were 11 different miracles listed. Anybody guess what the one listed the most was? There's lots of them. The fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Jonah and the Red Sea came in second. In the New Testament, there was 13 miracles listed, and number one by a long shot was Jesus walking on the water, feeding 5,000, and the woman healed from bleeding came in second. I was interested in one from the Old Testament that somebody listed, and I had forgotten about that miracle. I'm sure you haven't, but it was the floating axe head. It's found in 1 Kings 6, the floating axe head, something we don't think about, but interesting. So I appreciate all those that were involved in that. And again, I assume that when I asked them to do that, they believed in miracles. So we believe, right? We believe in miracles. We believe in God is the source of the miracles. But that was 2,000 years ago, my friends. I read a piece of literature some years ago, denominational literature, I won't say what denomination, and what it said was, don't teach your kids about miracles because later you'll have to unteach them. Does that bother anybody here besides me? Folks, our God is a great God. And as the scripture says, nothing is impossible for him. And I want to tell you that today God still is doing miracles. And I want to briefly share several that he's done for me. The first one was 1968-1969, and I'll try to be brief and I won't share all the details, which would make it much more plausible that it's a miracle. But I went to Vietnam and I was flying a little single-engine airplane about 70 miles an hour above the treetops. Some of the Army and Marine guys know what I'm talking about. Every time I got in that airplane, there was a good possibility that I wouldn't come back. 610 times I did that. I never had a bullet hole in my airplane. Say, oh yeah, well that's, nah. They just can't hit good, you know. They're not. Where I was up 12 miles from the Cambodian border for the first 4 months, an Army pilot came up there with one of his planes, looked just like mine, except it was camouflaged. And he flew out for about an hour or so, came back and landed and said, I'm going back home. And I said, why? He said, I've got 11 holes in my airplane. I should have never come home. There's more stories to that, but I don't have time for them. The second one, you've met. Some of you have met that miracle. Her name is Tiffany. When Laura was about 17, she had ovarian cysts, and they did surgery on her. And they took out 4/5 of the ovaries, and they said, you'll probably never be able to have children. Okay, we knew that when we got married. But the Lord had different ideas. After we were married a little over 6 years, she went to her annual checkup, and the doctor said, "Oh, you've got a cyst in your ovary. I don't remember which one. We'll call it the right one." And he said, "It's not going to get better." He said, "They never get better. They just get worse or they stay the same. And so you need to have a hysterectomy, but there's no hurry. We'll just check it every 3 months or so. And so you come back in 3 months." And so she did. And he checked it, and she was okay. And then she came back again. And he said, "Which ovary was that?" He's the doctor. He's supposed to know. And she told him, and he said, "Well, it's not there. It's gone." Not very much longer, she called me at work one day at Sears. Judy was there. And she said, "I'm pregnant." Now, I don't care what you say. That's a miracle. God had a hand in it. And one of the things that I know about it is we named her Tiffany. And later on, when she was growing up, Laura got a book that talked about names and what they mean. What's Tiffany mean, hon? If you didn't hear it, the appearance of God. And I'll tell you another little thing that's providence is I gave her a ring after the birth, and I gave it to her, and she was so excited, and I thought, "Boy, I did good." She said, "It's a Tiffany mounting." I didn't know what that was. God working. I'll briefly share the third one with you. Well, maybe it won't be so brief. I got time. I'll get you out by the time Dallas plays, okay? And I don't want anybody to think I'm condemning them when I share this, okay? When I was in Vietnam, I was smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. It was a little stressful. And I wasn't a Christian. You see, God's prevenient grace was working all the time I was in Vietnam. He was intervening for me, even though I didn't even know it, and I didn't even ask him to. And so I said, "Okay, God, I'll make you a deal." You ever do that? Don't do that. I said, "If you get me out of here, I'll quit smoking." So he took care of his part. And I came back home, and I was smoking, but I was torn up inside. You read the scripture about the flesh and the spirit fighting back and forth. That's what was going on. I knew I should quit. I made that promise. I knew it wasn't good for me. I would quit often. For a while, I quit 7 days a week every time I went to bed. But then later on, I would take my cigarettes and I'd throw them in the trash. This is pitiful. If you have an addiction of anything, trust God for it. I would go out to the alley and get the cigarettes out of the trash and smoke them. Laura said, sometimes I'd wake up in the morning coughing, and the first thing I did was reach over and light a cigarette. And again, I say, no condemnation on anybody, but I made a promise to God, and God was going to make sure it came about. After Tiffany was born, shortly, I was sitting at my desk in the office one night, and I was praying, and I said, "God, I don't want to quit." You know, I quit for 3 months one time, and my signature got so bad on my check I could hardly write from the tension. I said, "God, I don't want to quit, but I know it's not good for me, and I know I made a promise, and I know it's better if I don't, and so I'm willing to be made willing." I said, I need your help. Is that a good prayer? Tell you what, friends, you got a problem, you tell God, you admit you need his help. And there he is. I got up from the desk. I went to bed. Now I'm only smoking about a pack a day. I got up the next morning. I never, ever had the desire to smoke a cigarette again. Praise God. No condemnation. That's my story. But I couldn't do it. It was a terrible time for me. Just this big fighting going on inside. God is a miracle worker. He loves you. He cares about you. I think those are the first two sermons. Take it to him. Be honest and ask for his help. Now, here comes the hard part. Miracles are wonderful, aren't they? They help us. They get us out of trouble sometimes. They heal us. All the things that you can imagine yourself about miracles. But what happens when you don't get your miracle? What happens to your faith? Is your faith in miracles or in God? One more story, maybe two. 1982, I was working for Dunnigan Tool and Supply, going to church at Aldersgate. No, First Methodist. Aldersgate. Sorry. We spent 15 years at one and 12 at another, so I get confused sometimes. But Sunday school class kind of informally said I was to be the steward or the shepherd of the class. Well, one of the men that was in the class that worked at Dunnigan was out of town in Houston. And I got a call and said that his wife had taken their 2.5-year-old boy to the emergency room because he was having trouble breathing. And so I went right up to the hospital. And he wasn't doing very good. He had fever and a sore throat. And I want to tell you right now what our doctor told us years later. If you have a fever and a sore throat, you go see a doctor right now. The problem was that he had the infection in the epiglottis. Is that the way you say it? And it was getting bigger and bigger from the infection, and he couldn't breathe. To make a long story short, they had him in the ER. And because of Dr. Ayer, he died. 2.5 years old. By then, some of the Sunday school members had heard about it, and they came up there with us, and Ginger was there, the wife, the mother. And one of the ladies from the Sunday school class came in, her name's Sandy, and she said to me, "Let's go pray for God to raise that baby up." And we did. We went into that little cubicle with the curtain, and there was two men with suits, black suits on, standing out there. You know what they were for. And we laid hands on him. And we asked God to raise him up from the dead. And he didn't do it. Finally, we left, and the two men with the suits came and took the body away. And for a period of time after that, there were some people in the church that said, "That boy died because I didn't have enough faith." No. Maybe I didn't say the right words. No. And my answer to them was, my faith is not in getting what I want. It's in the one that gives it when he knows it's best. So I want to tell you today, when you don't get your miracle, you don't let that stop you from believing in the miracle giver. He knows more than we know, and we can't understand, we can't explain. Billy talked about that little child that died in the fire. Oh, that's tragic. We can't understand it. If I could give you the answers to it, you'd be worshiping me this morning. But I trusted in God, and I walked away from there saying, I don't understand, but I know, Lord, for whatever reason, we can trust in you. Job said, yea, though ye slay me, yet will I trust him. That was a hard time. It's hard for people to say you didn't have enough faith, and so that boy died. But I'll never believe that. And so what I'm saying today is, you don't build your faith on miracles. You don't build your faith on somebody else's faith. You don't build your faith on what the book says. You build it on the miracle giver and trust in him. Now, I asked those people in that survey what their favorite miracle was. But I haven't told you what my favorite one was. And so I'll close with that. On May 2nd, 1971, I walked down the aisle at Aldersgate United Methodist Church here in Abilene. R.L. Kirk was a pastor. I professed Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized. And I got the picture in my wallet, but you'd all would laugh, so I'm not going to show you that. For me, the best miracle, the biggest miracle, is when my soul was set free from the bondage to sin and death. When I was set free from all of the world. Let me read the last verse and the chorus. The love of God, O power divine, thy wonderful to see, the miracle of grace performed within the heart of me. And here's the chorus. Oh, it's hard not to sing this one. I believe in miracles. I've seen the soul set free, mine, yours, others. Miraculous the change in one redeemed through Calvary. I've seen a lily push its way up through the hardened sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God, not the other way around. I believe in God, and he is the miracle worker. This morning, I want to close by saying, if there's somebody here that hasn't had their soul set free, if you've never made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to have your soul set free. Scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. Praise team, come on up. And I appreciate all of our praise teams. They do a great job. But I want to encourage you again, if you've never done that, if you've never publicly professed your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, maybe you've been a member of a church for years, that doesn't Doesn't make any difference. Jesus said, if you profess me before men, I'll profess you before the Father. And if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Today is the day. Let God do a miracle here, right now, as you come forward and make that profession of faith. Amen.